But first, a most unusual lesson for corporate executives, how a classical music conductor is teaching business leadership. Economics correspondent Paul Solman visits a program where clients learn about the top by visiting the pits, the orchestra pit, that is. Paul has the story as part of our weekly series, Making Sense.
A couple of dozen freelance musicians. Many had never worked together before. Some had never even met. They gathered, rehearsed for about an hour, and performed Haydn's Symphony No. 44. Flawlessly. But how can a pop-up organization such as this function like a perfectly tuned machine when so many organizations, including maybe yours, seem dysfunctional?
And it makes you wonder, is there any way to use this to bring about collaboration?
It made conductor Roger Nierenberg wonder if there weren't a lot musicians can teach business people. And so for over 20 years, he has run the music paradigm. Seating executives in an orchestra.
Step up here onto the podium and I'll get you a companion.
Even inviting them to join him on the podium.
You want to find out what are the skills that they use? What can you steal from this orchestra, transplant into your own life, thereby bringing greater success not only to yourself, but to all those who work with you?
At the ritzy Mohonk Mountain House Resort in the Catskill Mountains, New York Presbyterian Hospital's superstar chief residents were the target audience.
These are the most talented young physicians in the country. And we've tended to say, well, they're going to do their own thing, and then we'll deal with all the other people in the hospital. It's a big mistake.
Because, says CEO Steve Corwin, they're key executives in a $5.2 billion a year business who may not always appreciate the supporting cast, says Chief Operating Officer Laura Farise.
I don't care how good a surgeon you are, you cannot do it on your own.
Consider surgeon Steve Lee Kong's wonder and envy at the tacit teamwork here.
They sounded like one instrument. If I'm doing an operation and anesthesia team I've never worked with before, it's invariably chaos.
So you know what the orchestra did the first thing? They tuned up. You know, if they start playing before they tune up, they're going to be unhappy.
Or as the CEO suggested saying to the surgical team,
team, this is our first voyage together.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how we're going to do this operation. Let's just go through this for 10 or 15 minutes before we start the operation, right?
Teamwork. And if not...
So I hate to do this to you, but would you mind giving an A, which is just about a quarter of a tone low, for the horns and the oboes and the bassoon? What happens when you have one silo on its own standard and you have another silo on a different standard? So strings, you play on your own pitch the last note. We're playing just one note, and we'll all play together. You recognize the sound of a high school orchestra? The problem is with the fact that these silos are not communicating across to one another.
Elizabeth Stevens is chief resident in that loftiest of silos, cardiothoracic surgery.
Snooty, okay. Nose in the air, because you're at the top of the pyramid, right? Fair?
I will say that this specialty as a whole has been known for that.
A specialty in which lack of teamwork actually kills people.
I can do a great operation and send the patient to the ICU, and if the ICU is not on the same page as me, we can have some very disastrous outcomes.
Even though both sides, the ICU is doing a great job, you did
right.
A great job, but...
But if I don't communicate something that I did differently in the OR, such that, you know, that certain patient needs to be managed differently, then we can have disastrous outcomes.
So let's play the last note. Make the whole orchestra sound like an organ, one instrument.
But wait a second, objected anesthesiologist Layla May Pang.
Yes, yes, please.
Your situation is a little bit different than our situation.
I'll bet it is.
You've started with people in your orchestra who are basically at the same level. We have an organization where we have people at multiple levels. How do you get all of these levels to work together.
I know that there are strong players in the orchestra. I know that there are weak players in the orchestra. So what I try to do is I try to get those people to collaborate.
But one of the lessons, how the leader can overdo it.
They will play it beautifully because I will make them play it beautifully.
By micromanaging, for example.
Okay, give me the mic. How'd the orchestra sound?
Sorry, guys, not very good.
Okay, what was wrong? I heard all the right notes.
Well, if I hate to put the blame on you, but I think maybe you were really paying attention to detail, but not communicating anything helpful to us.
Or just not paying attention to those under you.
Your eyes were kind of just roving around, and the conducting just seemed a little bit disconnected from anything we were doing musically.
And I actually saw over here some people looking really nervous and some jittery legs.
But one leadership mistake in particular really got to the docs.
If I said, now make it really beautiful, they have no idea what I'm asking for. A lot of times, we leaders are sloppy about that.
Or vague, Dr. Julia Iashura admitted, when she instructs her hospital staff on patient care.
Take care of the patient well, or, you know, do a good job.
Or play beautifully.
Play beautifully, instead of saying, do you understand how we're going to treat this person's ex? Do you understand the diagnosis?
How many of you think, after this, that you have fallen short in communicating with people who are on your teams? How many? Literally everybody?
Even though they do have techniques in place, says ophthalmology director Royce Chen.
We're always talking about like huddles and things like that. I think I tend to resist huddles because sometimes they seem like they're just another thing you have to do.
What are you going to do, or might you do differently in the huddle now?
So first I would say that I will commit to having a huddle, which is, I think, the first step.
Okay. That's a big concession?
That is a big concession, because I think oftentimes we just think it's an extra thing to do on a list of 1,000 things to do.
We tend to manage top down.
Again, the chief executives.
So the residents get the message. The hospital says you want to do the huddles. Oh, God, what is this about? What do they know?
So when one of our doctors today said, I'm going to do that huddle, because that huddle now is going to include everyone in that clinic, that was gold.
Gold for Roger Nierenberg. That's because it turns out his original business motivation was to help save the dying industry to which he's devoted his life.
I saw that the big problem for classical music in America is that we don't have enough audience. I have found a way to enroll people, to get people to feel classical music in a powerful way, in an artistic way. What really matters to me is the extent to which music has gotten through to them.
And sticks. Sticks as well as the hospital hopes his business lessons will. For the PBS NewsHour, this is economics correspondent Paul Solman reporting from Mohonk Mountain, New York.